Wasps, I discovered in my month of being a shrink, are notoriously hard to read. Their body language borders on mute, and their language itself is oblique, like those masters of obliqueness, the English, who I had learned in my 3 years at Oxford, when they say yes, actually, mean no, and when they say no, actually, may mean anything. Now, try as I might, coming at him from various different interviewing angles, much as my father, the dentist, would come at a recalcitrant tooth, Cherokee Putnam remained a mystery. It was 6:30 in the morning. I was bone tired, having been on call at the hospital all night long. Cherokee had appeared at the admissions unit without calling in advance and had paged the doctor on call. Me. He said he wasn't at all sure he needed admission, but he hadn't been able to sleep and had to talk to someone about a delicate matter in confidence. The closest I had come to reading any feeling in him was when he told me how, at a dinner party at home recently, he'd gotten so furious at his wife, Lily, that he'd actually done the unheard of, picked up his linen napkin and thrown it down onto the tablecloth beside his plate. To my probings, he denied that he was depressed. He denied suicide attempts, suicide gestures, suicidal ideation, and showed no signs of being crazy. He seemed like just the kind of guy the word normal was made for. He looked normal enough. He was my age, 32, my height and build, 6'3" and slightly fallen from slender. But while I was a lapsed Jew, he was a cornered wasp, in buttoned-down pink shirt and pressed khaki pants, with an excellent blade nose and blue eyes, a charming mole on one boyish cheek, and strawberry blonde hair combed back and parted off-center. Tan and handsome, he looked like the young Robert Redford. He was rich, the father of two girls, Hope and Kissy, and he admitted sheepishly to being a lawyer. A Yale graduate, he'd made a small fortune working for Disney in California before coming back to his roots in New England 18 months before. "But you kill yourself at Disney," he said. "There's a saying out there, if you don't come in on Saturday, don't bother to come in on Sunday." His wife, Lily, was also from New England. He'd spent $1.2 million to buy a foothill and a horse farm nearby. He and his wife were into horses. She into show jumping, he into polo. After a year of leisure, he was now trying to figure out what to do next with his life. "Is that what's troubling you?" I asked. "No, no, not at all," he said. "But once in a while, I wake up at 3 in the morning, comparing myself to other people, successful people. I turn to my wife and say, I'm a failure." That used to get her right up, but now she's so used to it, she barely wakes up. She just murmurs, "Take a halcyon and go back to sleep." Lily's heard it too many times. "So there are problems in the marriage?" "Oh, no, no. Things are fine, actually. The normal disagreements, mostly around her being so neat and me, well, you see how neat I seem?" "Very nice. Mm-hmm. Very. But in private, I'm pretty messy. Nothing big, just socks on the floor, nothing hung up. She's very neat. We had a big tiff last week when the help was off. I emptied the dishwasher and just threw the silverware into the drawer. Lily nests the spoons. Just the other day I said, 'Please, I beg you, give me the dignity of living like a pig.' I laughed. He smiled. Barely. Lily's a stunning woman. If she were here, you couldn't take your eyes off her. She did the whole debutante thing, cotillion, the works. Even after 2 kids, dynamite body, incredible, really. You should see her on a horse.